Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Today, I'm really happy that Nick Bennett, Director of Evangelism and Customer Marketing at Alice, is here to join us. I've watched Nick from the bleachers, so to speak, on LinkedIn, on other channels, also heard him at our Obsession conference. So this is going to be a great opportunity, not just to learn from Nick, but also for me to learn more about Nick himself. So Nick, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
So Nick, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got there, what was your means of barter? Tell us all.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I'm a traditional field marketer, ABM marketer for the last 10 years for tech companies. Usually Series B to Series D has kind of been my sweet spot. But funny enough, I was actually in sales before I moved over to marketing. And I kind of just fell into marketing. But the whole weird part was that I actually went to school for sport management. So like I'm a big sports person, still play baseball competitively. And when I went to college, I said, I'm going for sports management. I got out and I said, all right, what do I do? Do I become like a big shot athletic director or a sports agent? Turns out neither of them were true. And so I went into sales. And so I was doing sales, inside sales for a few companies, not in the tech space, but just like one was like a tooling company. One was in like the cellular side of it. And I just randomly came across marketing and I started off in channel marketing actually. And it was a nice kind of break into it, working with channel partners, things like that. And then it let me get into field marketing on the tech and SaaS side of it. So I've been doing the field marketing up until, honestly, 2 months ago or so now, where I moved into evangelism and customer marketing. So that is a 100% new area for me. I have never done customer marketing. I always understand customers. I talk to them quite frequently. But to have it as like part of my responsibilities, it's brand new.
I actually really want to talk to you about baseball now, since I'm a big baseball fan. Who's your favorite team?
The Red Sox, but it's a rough year, so...
I'm a Yankee fan, so maybe there's going to be some conflict here during this discussion. We'll go to a game one day. Maybe a little bit like, so you did field marketing and now you're doing something pretty new. What can you take from your previous experience and apply it now?
Yeah, so I think field marketers, and I've always tried to create this path of field marketing 2.0. So you are kind of like an advisor to your sales team. Your sales team is your internal customer. However, you're still working with other customers to drive middle of funnel and bottom of funnel. And so I think a lot of what a field marketer does in thinking past just events, events is a big piece of it, but how do you connect digital, brand, product, all those other pieces? And I think customer marketing is kind of similar. It's it's still like you're creating advocacy within your customer base. And so I'm still joining customer calls, and I do join prospect calls as well. But like before, it was just joining prospect calls. And so it's a little similar, but it's fun because I get to talk to marketers who are like me all day. And so when you are the ICP of a product that you use, it's a little bit easier to sell and market to those people as well, because you understand the pain points that they're looking to solve because you've been looking to solve them as well. It just makes the programs that you're running and the campaigns that you're running a little bit easier. And I think at the end of the day, instead of having your AEs be your internal customer, it's like, CS is your internal customer as well. And so working with them hand in hand to make sure that you're driving, retention, you're driving upsell, cross-sell, things like that.
You know, what I really like about that is as marketers, we always need to work better with sales. Like, so you already know their language, how they think about things. So, you're already been a member of their group, which I think is really key here. And then two is, I was making this comment earlier on a podcast, is you're talking to customers. And I find so many of us marketers don't really talk to customers a lot. We talk to ourselves a lot, but that's one of those things that, I always talk also about my influence at Intuit, where we were forced to adopt a company or adopt a small business So not only did we talk to a lot of customers, but we actually spent a lot of time with the same one as they went through their own life cycle, their own journey. But what I want to talk to you today about is personal brand. You know, we're seeing it all over the internet, people trying to build their personal brand. Some people are coming clean and saying they're doing that. Some are just like posting a lot more. I mean, it's great because there's a lot more content out there. But you've talked about this before. So I want to start out, but maybe you can define what it means to have a personal brand and to build your personal brand.
Yeah. You know, I think it's something where you're just trying to share information with others. Like, I'm not self-promotional. I'm not out there pitching things left and right. And I think it's different if you have a company that you own or run and you are like the one person that's doing everything. When you're doing and building your personal brand, when you're working for a corporate company and you're just an employee within that organization, I think that there's so many benefits to be able to do it. And like, one of the things is, what do you want people to know you as? Like, for example, when I started creating content on a daily basis, I talked about field marketing on LinkedIn because no one talked about it. For 8 months, I talked about field marketing and the misconceptions of what it was, because so many people were like, oh, you're just an event planner. Like, no, like there's so much more than that. It frustrates me when like you have these enterprise sales teams that are like, oh, go plan this event. Like, no, hold on. Like, I am the Tom Brady of the team. And like, you're quarterbacking the plays with the rest of the organization. You're cross-functionally pulling everything together. And so I just wanted to share my knowledge of what field marketing actually was and why I believe field marketing 1.0 was ushering into 2.0, where you were becoming more revenue driven. And I think it's done tremendous shifts. I'm still connected to a lot of field marketers that I talk about and talk to on a regular basis. And so I just talked about that. Ultimately allowed me to branch out into talking about ABM, talking about marketing in general. I now talk about like customer marketing stuff, even knowing like I have no real clue what I'm talking about half the time. And just like general life stuff that is important that I think people should know. And it allowed me to create a really big audience for myself that would listen to what I had to say every single day. And it allowed me to, you know, create podcasts, be on events, like all these things. And ultimately, the reason that I did it was that I never want to apply to a job again in my life. I just want to be able to freely, hopefully, pick and choose. Like, if I was to get laid off tomorrow and I put something on LinkedIn saying, hey, unfortunately, I lost my job, looking for my next opportunity, hopefully people would be able to DM me and say like, hey, like, we would love to have you. If not, I've done something completely wrong.
So there's some really powerful things there I heard. So one is you're posting every day or creating content every day. Two is this niche. So you started with your niche of field marketing. When I say niche, it was something new. And I agree with that in terms of LinkedIn. And the last thing is this humbleness, which I really, you know, appreciate in terms of like, you're new to customer marketing. So you're there to not just share, but also learn as well. Are there other kind of key ingredients you think for people who, so I guess let's focus a little bit on like how people get started. Like, I'm stuck, you know, I want to build my personal brand, Scott Wilder. What do I do?
I think honestly, the most important thing before creating any content yourself is finding, you know, say 10 to 20 like-minded people that you want to learn from on a daily basis. And so I'm sure they're creating content, the ones that you may look up to, because how else would you know of them somewhat unless you're running in the same circles? But like, go find those people, write them down, and go add that little bell icon on LinkedIn so that you get notified every time they post. What's going to happen is when they do that, and you are one of the first people that show up on their profile and add a comment of value to whatever they're talking about, one, you're going to get their attention. But two, when they're getting, say, you know, let's just use like a Chris Walker, for example, when you're getting hundreds of thousands of views per post, and you're one of those first people, all those viewers after you that commented will see what you said. And if they're going to say, oh, wow, Scott, like that was really insightful, I'm going to go click Scott's profile and see what he does, they're going to then build that following base without you having to create content yourself. And I recommend doing that for at least 90 days before you get into creating of your own content, because one, it will give you that base, but two, it will give you so many ideas of things that you can talk about when you do start to create content.
Got it. So I should spend 90 days, find people who I admire their content or want to follow, and comment, post on that, set my notifications or their automatic notifications.
Yeah, I think so. And it's just, I mean, some people, I didn't jump into it that way. I just went straight into the creation of content. But I feel like when you talk about a specific subject or anything, it's a little bit easier. I feel like there was, you know, I think about a year ago, there was only 1% of LinkedIn's members that created content. I read something a couple months ago that said by the end of 2022, there will be upwards of 4% of users that create content on a regular basis. I mean, that's a tremendous jump over a year. And if you think about how flooded that's going to get across, like if you're talking about broad topics, it's going to be hard. So if you like, you know, niche down into customer marketing, ABM, whatever, like it just gives you a little bit of an advantage and kind of paints you as more of a subject matter expert.
Got it. So you mentioned Chris Walker. Are there other folks that you personally follow on LinkedIn or that you think that people should like, you know, obviously the interests have to match up, but that you would recommend that, you know, somebody like Scott Wilder could learn from?
I think it depends like what topics you're interested in. Cause like, you know, I feel like Chris Walker is very demand gen focused. And like, if that's something that's interests you, great. Like then you have people kind of like Mason Cosby that talks about ABM, like Liam Maroney, who's another person who was the SVP of marketing at Notarize and then actually went off and did his own thing. And, you know, then you even have people like Justin Welsh, who I know isn't a marketer per se, but he's a solopreneur who talks a lot about those things. And there's so many customer marketers that I've learned from, funny enough, like Leslie from Sedoso and like Amanda Peacock and like Dana and like all these other people that like, again, I know nothing about customer marketing. So I'm just trying to learn, educate myself. So I've been trying to find more customer marketers to connect with so that I can see their content. And so I'm going through that similar approach now where I'm going and finding those people. I'm not commenting on their stuff as much, but like I am reading it on a daily basis to see like, hey, what am I missing out? Or like, where should I be focusing my time?
So now the question is, okay, so Nick Bennett is building his brand. How do you think about your personal brand vis-a-vis your company's brand?
I think it's an interesting thing because I think it goes back to executives empowering their employees to create content. And the reason I say that is like, how often do you go follow a company page for the content that they create? Probably not very much. And the reach that, you know, I was running our organic company page on LinkedIn and Twitter for like 6 months. And it was just so interesting to see, you know, the impressions and how like content kind of like played out on that. And I said, all right, okay, if that's what a company page is getting and a personal page is getting 100x that, how can you amplify that and more so create an internal employee advocacy, I don't want to say program, but like, you know, little area there where you can amplify not the company's narrative, but the employees' narratives. And the reason I say that is every person that is creating content, say you have 30, 40 employees that are doing it on a somewhat consistent basis, people are going and clicking their profiles. As long as your profile is optimized correctly and you have where you work and things you're passionate about, they're going to click that profile. They're going to say, oh, interesting. Okay, Nick works for Alice. Oh, you know what? I don't use gifting currently, but it's something I've been thinking about. You know what? I'm going to go see what they do. I'm going to request a demo. And so I can't tell you how many times that happens where like, it'll say like, how did you hear about us? They'll put like my name or LinkedIn or TikTok, like, or other employees' names. Like, it's just so interesting to see how that plays out. Like, I don't pitch Alice. Like, at the end of the day, you make decisions, whatever is important for you. Like, I'm here to educate you. But at the end of the day, it's still your decision. I just want people to get familiar with who I am and ultimately drive views for the company. But I feel like they're renting your personal brand. It's funny because my mom's worked for Raytheon for like 44 years this month. And so it's her only job she's ever had. And she's like, you're 35 years old and you've had like 8 jobs so far. And I was like, Mom, it's not like it used to be. And she was just like, I don't get it. How do you do this? And I was just like, it's different. And so people aren't going to stay in the jobs that they have for, you know, 40 something years. I mean, I feel like right now, I thought I read a stat the other day that said most marketers are staying in their roles right now for 12 to 18 months that are non-executives. And so, I mean, if you think about that, people are changing jobs a lot more because pay is higher, culture is better, it's not as toxic, things like that. And so when you leave, your personal brand goes with you, but the company benefits while you're still there.
No, I think it's, you know, we're both sports fans and you know, I think we're seeing that in sports too, is that people are becoming more attached to teams based on the players versus the teams. And I don't think everybody at the company level or the sports teams levels really realize that. Maybe the sports teams do a little bit more. Like, you know, I have to use a Yankee reference here. Sorry. But like Aaron Judge, the Yankees know that, you know, there's a lot of value in his brand. But companies, yeah, I think there's a lot more. They need to wake up a little bit more and think about that, because it is around the employees. And, you know, the companies I've worked at, I've looked at how many people are engaging with the company page. And it's usually around just like that event in time, right? Like just the company's doing a big event. But other than that, it's kind of crickets. And so I think, you know, people like yourself, people, a company like Alice should really value, you know, the employee, and just like know that all boats are going to rise, you know, with the Nick tide or whatever. So I think it's actually a really interesting moment in time for companies to figure out, like, how do you empower your employees more? You know, we've seen a lot of research about, like, your employees are happy, therefore, you know, it's going to help drive sales and things like that. But I think there's more work to be done around the social aspect around it. So what do you think? Now we've talked about the value for companies to really step in. What advice do you have for companies in terms of empowering their employees?
So I think don't gate the content that they create. Because I've seen this before where, you know, executive teams try to push a very specific narrative that they want their employees to do. And it's just like, if I'm going to create content, I want to talk about things I'm passionate about. I don't want to be told what I need to talk about every single day, because, like, at the end of the day, what fun is that? But I think it's just being open and just giving your employees the time and being like, it's okay to be on LinkedIn during a workday. Like, it was funny. I was talking to someone about a month ago who works for like a 20,000 person company. And he was just like, yeah, I'm not allowed to be on LinkedIn during the day. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, it's like, it's frowned upon. Like, we were told, like, you cannot create content on company time. And I was just like, it's those bigger companies that have that mindset that are going to be left at the station when the train's leaving. Because all these other companies that get it are like, yeah, like, you know, work-life balance, like the pandemic, it has taught us to integrate our life into our workday and remote work from anywhere. Like, people, like, we're all adults. We know how to work. We know how to get the job done. And if you can't get the job done, then okay, fine. It's time to move on. But if you're telling an employee that they can't be on LinkedIn during work time because it's taking away from other stuff, like, it's not like they're sitting there for 7 hours in a day. Like, they're jumping on, creating some content, replying to comments. But how many others, like, are getting, like, DMs and messaging? And how much does it help with recruiting for open positions? I guarantee you a ton. I can tell you, I posted a product marketing role and got like 30 something job applicants in 2 days. Now, like, people get the brand. Like, it's just getting them feel that it's okay to do these things within your regular workday.
Amen. I wish we had this conversation like 2 years ago. No, that's definitely, because I think, you know, some of the companies I've been with in the past, I, you know, either as a consultant or full time, I think they could really benefit from what you're saying. So when you think about, you know, your personal brand and social media and other blogs and things like that, do you have a game plan of how you approach the content, like frequency, amount of content, time of day, or do you kind of just, are you a wing it kind of guy?
So I'm definitely a wing it type of person, and I don't recommend that approach for really anyone that's starting out, because one thing that I always told myself was I can't spend more than 5 minutes creating any one piece of, like, post. Like, any LinkedIn post cannot take me longer than 5 minutes. And the reason being, it's going to start to create me or put me into an over analytical state. And I'm going to start to question everything, like, oh, should I backspace this? And how many times have we all been there where you type some post, whatever, and then you're hitting backspace because you're like in your mind. And so I was like, you know what? 5 minutes or less. And I've stuck to that for 2.5 years now. And it's been a game changer, because I just send it. Like, I don't care. Like, there's grammatical errors. Grammarly has helped with that a bit, but like, I'm a terrible person with run-on sentences. And like, I guarantee you, I don't actually like proofread a ton of my stuff when I post. I just comes into my head. I don't write it down. I just go straight into LinkedIn, usually on my phone, hit post, and then it's out in the universe, and that's it. But like, for someone just starting out, what I would recommend is, whether it's your notes app, a Google Doc, a Notion document, whatever, just keep something with ideas that are running through your head, like projects that you're working on, conversations that you have with them, you know, other coworkers or your boss or customers. Like, how can you reframe a lot of those to create content around them without giving out, you know, confidential stuff, but like share what you're working on with others, because I guarantee you people are having the same questions. They're working on a lot of the same or similar projects. And if you can help one person a day, not looking to move mountains, but help one person a day, I guarantee you, you're going to be in a better spot than not.
No, I like that a lot. I keep a bunch of ideas and posts in a Google sheet. I actually call it the fortune cookie sheet because I try and think of like little fortune cookie, you know, length excerpts and things like that. So no, that's great. And then you mentioned LinkedIn. Do you lean into any other channels, or is LinkedIn really the main channel for you?
So LinkedIn's definitely the main one for me. I do have a Twitter as well. So I've got like, you know, over 3,000 followers there. I don't invest a ton of time. I more read there. And I use Twitter for like sports, like catching up on sports, like football, baseball, basketball, like all the breaking news, and also meteorologists. I'm big into weather. So like I follow tons of meteorologists, but I do follow a lot of B2B marketers as well. And then I actually started a TikTok probably about 6 months ago now. I forget exactly when, but got almost 2,000 followers there. And I'm still trying to figure out my plan for TikTok. It's B2B hasn't fully adopted. Like there's a lot of content creators from LinkedIn that are on TikTok as well, but like they haven't taken full advantage of the platform yet. And I'm still trying to figure out what do I want to use it for. Like I'm using it for repurposing podcast content and events and like just random thoughts that pop through my head. But so many people like do crazy skits that are like edited for hours. And I was just like, one, I don't have the time for that. But two, like I just feel like I'm not creative enough to like do things like that. But I do scroll TikTok a lot because I think it's like absolutely hilarious and probably also at times suck. So
TikTok, like a lot of these things, is pretty addictive. So I try and do it only when I'm on the stationary bike.
Yeah. Right? Oh, that's smart.
Right. Cause it's, even if I go crazy, it's not going to be more than 45 minutes. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but I recommend TikTok and stationary bikes.
So, I love that.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you today about, you know, personal brand or other things like that, that you think I should know about, or also the audience should know about?
I think the last thing that I would say is like, everyone has something to say. So many people are afraid of like what others will think of them for creating content. And you and I were talking about this before we went live, but you know, I posted something the other day about, you know, G2 reviews and like what I did. And like, I was absolutely attacked. And I understand creation of content, there's always going to be trolls. It's going to create imposter syndrome for you. There's going to be negatives that come along with it, but I guarantee you the positives will absolutely outweigh it. And so for the first time in 2.5 years, I was taken back where I just felt, I've never been attacked so much where like, I felt like, wow, like this just like, it felt different. And I needed to just honestly shut down all social media for like a couple hours and just like decompress. And like, I literally just like stared off like into space and I just cleared my mind. And then I came back and I was just like, you know what? Like, if you're not losing followers on a, you know, some occasional basis, then your point of view isn't strong enough. Like, stand for something. And I think that's one thing when you're creating content on LinkedIn or any other channel, like have a strong POV, because there's so much fluffy stuff that's out there. And it's okay for people to disagree with you. That doesn't mean that you have to just go and change your mind to appease everyone, because what you create isn't meant for everyone. Like what I create, like there's people that hate my content and that's okay. It wasn't meant for them, but the people that enjoy it definitely outweighs those who hate it. And I think that's important to remember, because people think of like social media as like, oh, you know, it's just going to be awesome. Like it's going to open all these doors for me building my personal brand. But as soon as you hit post on your first post, just know there will always be people who don't like it.
Thank you for sharing that. Really valuable, because I think as more and more, you know, you mentioned 4%, as that percent increases, I'm sure there'll be more opinions. It'll be like, you know, what happens on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So, and it is moving from this professional related post to people are sharing more and more of themselves. And so you might have somebody who posts about the Red Sox and I'm like, you know, and somebody will jump in and say, wait a minute, the Red Sox, they stink. You know,
but Aaron Judge will look good in a Red Sox uniform next year. So.
That's one of my biggest fears. But I live in California now, San Francisco, so maybe he'll come to the Giants. But
it's possible.
You know, you mentioned you stepped back for a few hours. Is there anything else you would recommend to anybody who does experience, you know, that negative feedback?
Yeah, just, you know, like you can block people, you can unfollow people. Like, it's okay. I blocked like my first person, like from this. Like, I haven't blocked anyone in 2.5 years. I've unfollowed people, but I've never blocked someone for harassment. And like, it's okay to do that. Like, it's built into the platform where if you experience things of hate or feel like that, like people are just treating you like wrong, it's okay to block someone. Like, it's okay. Like, just, it's tough to overcome that mental barrier, but it's there for a reason. And like, don't be afraid to use it.
I was recently blocked and I was kind of surprised at first. And it was more just, you know, disagreement or different opinions on something. And so I was really surprised, but also, you know, it's a free world. So it's not a big deal. Like, you know, we all had times where people haven't returned our phone calls. It's like, yep. You know, as you think about your career, and you, I know you're probably, you know, in the first quarter of your career, you know, what has influenced you the most, or who has influenced you the most?
Seeing others who have done this, and like, it's funny, like I've talked to a few people that I never had a mentor really throughout most of my career so far. And I just recently got one like a couple of years ago. And like, I was just trying to figure this all out myself. Like one, like working for startups, you know, hey, am I getting screwed on equity, or like, am I being underpaid? Like, I don't know. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I just basically took whatever was sent my way. I didn't negotiate anything. And that was like huge miss on my part, but also it was a huge miss for not advocating for myself earlier and getting someone in my corner. And so I've now like, I have like a mentor that I work with on a regular basis, but I have kind of like a cabinet of people that I bounce stuff off of on a regular basis that I consider like within that really close inner circle. And like, you know, I talk like money with them. I talk, you know, hey, am I getting like ripped off on this job offer? And like, we all just, we talk about it and it's okay. And like, that has been a tremendous piece. And honestly, I've run, you know, some of my content by these people, like, hey, like, is this like too crazy to post? Like, I just wrote this. And like, it's good to have people that are in your corner that will support you, good or bad, and like, not just be a yes person to you, but also tell you like, hey, like, I wouldn't do this. Like, you're taking it a step too far, or like, you're not thinking about it this way. And like, this group of people has honestly really, really helped.
I mean, I think it's, you know, it's funny. There's a whole like profession out there of coaching and things like that, but you know, that costs money. And sometimes the coaches are not in, I think coaching is great. I mean, you've actually been a certified coach, but there's something about people who can relate to your business, the industry you're in, and things like that, and having those people over an extensive period of time. So all the power to you. That's great on that. Anything else we should discuss today?
The last thing that I would say is just don't be afraid to get started. Everyone has to start somewhere. Everyone was at zero at one point in their career. And like, it's don't just look at these other content creators and be like, I want to be like a Chris Walker or a Dave Gerhart or like whoever, like, because once you start comparing yourself to others that are like, that have been posting content for years, you're going to get into a like bad place, because you're going to be like, why doesn't my content perform like theirs? Like, it's valuable. Like, what's wrong with it? And you got to remember that like, people have been doing this. There's some people that have been posting on LinkedIn for like 6-7 years now. Like, they built an audience for themselves, and like, people will follow their content no matter what. And you might post more valuable content at times than them. But like, again, they've been at it for so long that like, it's that built-in audience that will support you no matter what. And like, just don't compare yourself to others, because you'll put yourself in a really bad spot.
That's awesome. Well, Nick, it's been great. I feel like I've been taking notes here, and you know, I've learned a lot from you today. So thank you. Not bad for a Red Sox, you know, fan, but no, I appreciate that. We'll have to talk baseball sometime. So thank you again, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you everybody for joining Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by Base. Remember to look us up on, or me up, since personal brand. No, look up Base or, you know, Customer-Led Groove on LinkedIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. Feel free to follow, give us feedback, etc. And remember, it's never too late to get to the customer groove. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.